Father, thank you so much for being a God who never changes, a God who's never confused, a God who is all truth, no compromise, a God who has laid out his word forever and ever for us to use as the only authority and final authority, Lord. And I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord. I ask you to just use me, Lord, to speak, but it's only you with the power of your word and how you work through the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Lord, I pray that you touch every one of us. And that, Lord, we would be bold as believers in what is happening all around us. My Lord God, that we would be a witness and a testimony to the truth as we stand firm in the truth of the Scriptures and the truth of Jesus Christ, Lord. And I pray that this would all be pleasing to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we conclude our series on the new spirituality, and we'll do that by discussing what has come to be known as Christian yoga. We'll look at what it is, what the church says about yoga, what the Hindus say about yoga, the dangers of practicing yoga. We'll discuss briefly Reiki, which is another growing form of healing, and what the Bible says about all of these kinds of things. So let's look at what yoga is. Make no mistake, it is a spiritual practice. You know, I go to the simplest places to get my information. I went to Wikipedia, which is right on the web. Any of you could go there, and it's just interesting as they try to stay unbiased to see how they describe it from a purely unbiased way. And they say yoga is a group of ancient spiritual practices originating in India. And so right off from the beginning, they form the basis that it is a spiritual practice, and it is what we would call of pagan origin. They said it has been defined as technologies or disciplines of self-denial and meditation, which are thought to lead to spiritual experiences and a profound understanding or insight into the nature of existence. Outside India, yoga is mostly associated with the practice of, I believe you pronounce it, asanas or postures, which is a very important part of the yoga exercises, and it's called hatha yoga, or a form of exercise. This hatha yoga is what is infiltrating the American culture, as you'll see as we continue. An article, somebody, a visitor, as a matter of fact, knew I was going to be speaking about Christian yoga and dropped off an article, a magazine for me to read. It was a Christian Research Journal, and they had a very interesting article on yoga in there, and they explained there are four major branches of yoga. There's Bhakti. Now, I hope I pronounce these names correctly as we get to some of the swamis and these gurus and these Indian names. Please bear with me as I try to get it right. And just remember, I'm a kid from Brooklyn, and I struggle with the English language to begin with. And so now you add something a little more complicated in there, and it just throws me. But first you have this bhakti yoga, which is a devotion to a guru or a god. Then you have jhana yoga, which is an intellectual discretion. And then you have karma yoga, which has an emphasis on good works. And you've all heard the saying, you know, good karma in the past. And then you have raja yoga, which is concerned with mind control. And this raja yoga consists of the eight limbs of a person born in India named Patanjali. Okay, the eight limbs of Patanjali. Now, yoga was developed by this Patanjali to free the soul of human beings from what he believed was their false identification with matter. And one of the eight limbs of Patanjali is what is called Hatha Yoga. We're not going to concern ourselves with the others. Now, Let Us Reason Ministries said that BKS, I believe it's pronounced Iyengar, the founder of the more popular form of Hatha Yoga used in the U.S., states that yoga is the means by which the human soul may be completely united with the Supreme Spirit pervading the universe and thus obtain liberation. And so you really get to understand where they're coming from, what yoga is all about, and it all comes down to the universal life force called God, which resides in every single human being. And you can't help but notice the same thread runs through all of these Eastern religions or practices that we've renamed under something else. The yoga positions are designed to reach, he said, the state of samadhi, or state of union with self as God. Hatha yoga and its postures bring the subtle body into a specific alignment with the physical, which will alter the consciousness of the participant. So in other words, one is practicing one of the basic tenets of Hinduism when they engage in yoga exercises, whether that's their intention or not. And I think that's very important to understand. So now let's look at its purpose. The Christian Research Journal, that same magazine, said that yoga is derived from the Sanskrit word yug, which means to yoke. And we know a yoke is a crossbar that unites. It brings together common form as two animals under a yoke, all united to work together to achieve a common goal or purpose. And so the term, therefore, used metaphorically, means people joined together in a united cause. Jesus spoke of a yoke, a very different kind of yoke, his yoke, and he said, it is not burdensome. The question should be asked, though, as a person starts thinking about, should I practice yoga, is what am I being yoked to? What am I being yoked to? You see, the historic purpose behind yoga is to achieve union with the Hindu concept of God. This is the purpose behind virtually all of the Eastern varieties of yoga, of which there are many, including that which we have now engaged in the West and tried to make it our own. Now, this doesn't mean that the purpose of everybody who goes for some sort of a yoga class or does yoga exercises doing it with the purpose of being spiritual. The real issue is here is we should not be naive as to what yoga was intended to accomplish and what it will accomplish, even under the simplest and innocent of terms. People do it to enhance their physical look, tighten their abs, feel good. It's used over and over and over. And it's so interesting that just two decades ago, Americans, and especially Christians, would not engage in any kind of yoga, knowing it was from a Hindu belief. And now, today, it is the in thing. It's the, you know, the scriptures that say, you know, good will be evil and evil will be good. But folks, we are watching this happen. right before our eyes. As a matter of fact, you're not even considered spiritual today if you don't practice some form of mysticism. You're no longer going to be considered Christian if you don't incorporate into your Christian belief something from the Eastern religion, something from idolatry, something from paganism. And so make no mistake, those who insist on the Christianity of old, according, I have to say old, because there's a new spirituality, a new way of thinking Christian, that we will come up against opposition as you try to stand on the truth, and stand we must. You see, its popularity is growing even as we speak this morning. And that's my next point, is its growth. It's listed on several different websites and in different articles and magazines, but there's one from eternalpath.com titled Yoga Practice Grows at an Unprecedented Rate in America. And the article said, 35 million Americans will try yoga for the first time this year. I wish 35 million Christians would try Jesus for the first time this year. But no, we're not interested in Jesus, but we're interested in yoga. Okay? Once confined to those interested in Eastern spirituality, yoga is catching on among fitness fanatics, aging baby boomers, that would be me, and others like me, and other unlikely enthusiasts who claim the mind-body practice does everything from heal illness to tighten abs. Unfortunately, even Walmart, if you go to their website, you'll see they're exploiting almost 1,000 products that deal with yoga, and Target's website has over 4,000. And so see, now it's money. You see, it's bottom line money again. So of course we have to jump in on that bandwagon. Hatha yoga is now being taught at the YMCA as a physical education program. You'll find it in most health spas or gyms. You'll find it being offered in the medical field. You'll find it being offered in churches. All with the assumption that this is good for the physical health of the body and a good conditioning of the mind. Well, the mind is being conditioned, but I wouldn't call it good. And so what does the church say about Christian yoga or yoga? I think that's a good question, right? What is the church saying about yoga? Well, they say it's okay for Christians. It's okay. An article titled Christian Yoga Rooted in Hindu Occultism said, even more daunting than the documented warnings and hazards of yoga is the fact that many Christians are teaching Christian yoga. It seems that relabeling yoga as yoga for Christians has given people the green light to bow down and do yoga for Yahweh. And of course, this is happening. You see, because many people like yourself who go to churches or who look up to Christian leaders or churches for guidance, see the church is, and the leaders saying it's okay. For example, yoga classes were offered at the 2004 National Pastors Convention, of which Rick Warren was a major speaker, and they say nothing about it. And so you would think, well, if Rick Warren could do it, and if it's at the National Pastors Convention, or if my church brings somebody in to teach me yoga, it must be good. And so what Christians are saying is, it's okay for Christians to practice yoga. it's okay. It seems that relabeling yoga, though, under the guise of worshiping Jesus, makes you think about, well, what kind of Jesus are we talking about? Is the Jesus of this book one who would allow us to integrate paganism with him and say, this is good? Regardless of what some may be saying, it is not the Jesus of this Bible. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he said this. This is like this, these verses are so alive for today when I read them. He said, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, how apropos, or a different kind of gospel. Oh boy, we have a different gospel being preached today than the one you believed. And so the bottom line is that there are many Christian organizations that have come together now to teach Christian yoga ministries. I want to just share a few of these ministries that are out there to help us to learn how to do yoga. There's Christian yoga exercise. There's stretched out in worship. There's Yahweh yoga. There's holy yoga. There's Christ-centered yoga. There's sunlight yoga, S-O-N, sunlight yoga. Yoga from a Christian perspective, Trinity yoga, just to name a few, and it goes on and on and on. You know, it's like taking a Ouija board. Many of you are probably familiar with Ouija boards. I hope you don't play with it, but Ouija board depends on the spirit world, the spirit guides to guide your movements to give you a message through the Ouija board. And so probably what's going to happen next is we're going to have Christian Ouija. We're going to put a picture of Jesus on the board, maybe with some of the apostles, and of course we'll put a church with a steeple and a cross on the board. And we're going to say we're in touch with Jesus, and he's telling me what to do. For all I know, this game is in the making right now. I mean, everything else is we'll have Christian tarot cards, too. We'll have pictures of the apostles, the different church ages, the different churches that the book of Revelation listed, and we'll play these games to see what kind of message God has for me. You see? This is all happening. So the church says it's okay for Christians, but what's even worse is they say it's a worship tool. Christianity is saying yoga is a worship tool. This is from the Holy Yoga website. Not yogurt, yoga. Holy yoga was created to introduce physical worship of the Lord through prayer, breath work, and movement to all seekers and believers in Jesus Christ, regardless of denomination. The purpose of the ministry is to introduce people to yoga as a form of collective mind, body, and spirit worship. This is what we're being told. And this is what people are believing and embracing. What they're also doing is certifying individuals to become yoga Christian instructors to facilitate Christ-centered classes. This is what just is so hard to believe. Christ-centered classes in individual churches and communities. The sole purpose at Holy Yoga is to introduce people to a unique and powerful yoga experience centered on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To deepen the experience, Holy Yoga classes are practiced to contemporary motivational Christian music. Well, that makes it okay. Now I feel better. That means if I want to go to a seance and speak to the spirit world, as long as in the background I hear Amazing Grace, that must mean it's okay. You see how ridiculous this is? But you know what? Christians are buying into this as though it come from God's mouth to their ears. So we'll practice pagan practices to the tune of Christian music. And then they go on to say yoga is not a religion. It is a practice of mind and body control. When led by scripture, prayer, and worship poses, it is a practice that encourages patience and cultivates an understanding of what God can manifest in our spiritual and emotional bodies. There is no doubt, as we continue, that something is being manifested, but it's not from God. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 2 through 4, this is what the Lord has to say about this. He says, "When you drive out the nations that live there, you must destroy all the places where they worship their gods. Not only worship, destroy their gods, but destroy the places they worship their gods at." That's how detestable this is to God. "High on the mountains, up on the hills, and under every green tree." In other words, wherever it is, destroy it. Destroy it. "Break down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, burn their Asherah poles, and cut down their carved idols. Completely erase the names of their gods. Do not worship the Lord your God in the way these pagan people worship their gods." And yet we're saying, it's okay. It's okay. Yoga is a good way for Christians to worship. And yet what does God say in John chapter 4? God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. You see, we do not worship God through meditative physical exercises, especially of hatha yoga. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul wrote this to the church. "It is we who are the circumcision." He's talking about the circumcision of the heart, not the circumcision of the flesh. "We who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh." That's exactly what we're being told. It's okay because we're using the method of the flesh to worship and praise God, directly against Scripture. Christians also say it's a form of exercise. In a Lighthouse Trails article, Youth Specialties President, Youth Specialties is a nationwide youth organization that is ministering to our young people. You know, if the young Christians are converted to this way of thinking, you know what the next generation will be like. Hitler was right when he said, "Get the kids, I've got the next generation." This is what he said. This is the president, Mark Ulstreicher, I believe his name is pronounced. This is what he said on yoga. He said, "Yoga is really just about stretching and slowing down. Sure, yoga, I suppose, could focus on Hindu or Buddhist gods or something, but it can also focus on Christ." He said, "We received a couple stomping mad complaints about the yoga at the National Pastors Convention." See again, the National Pastors Convention, saying, "Putting your body in these positions invites Hindu gods to enter your body." "I'm sorry," he said, "this sounds like heresy to me. If we don't believe Hindu gods actually exist, then why are we concerned about them entering our bodies?" Well, just a little basic knowledge of scripture would tell you why. Hindu gods, or any form of idolatry are directly related to demonic activity. Okay? I don't mean to hurt the feelings of a Hindu person, but that's what our Bible says about any form of idolatry in any shape, way, or form. And we should be concerned because these Hindu gods are deceiving spirits and demons. It's exactly what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "The Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." In Deuteronomy 18:9, the scriptures say, this was God's word to Israel. And by the way, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says that we ought to learn from the mistakes of Israel. I don't think we've learned very much. He said, "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations." Now talk about heresy. This man said it's heresy to think this way. In a separate article, this is what he said. The same president of Youth Specialties, he says, "Christianity is an Eastern religion. It has all its roots in the East. It's a bit baffling to me that people lose sight of this and insist on creating a false separation between Eastern religions and Western Christianity." Talk about heresy. Okay, so that's what Christians, the church, is saying about yoga. It's okay. It's worship. It's only exercise. Let's see what the Hindus say about yoga. Now make no mistake, they say it is Hindu. It's Hindu. Not Christian, not American, it's Hindu. In an article on Lighthouse Trails by a Hindu professor from the Hindu University of America titled "Yoga Renamed is Still Hindu," he said this. Professor Subhas Tiwari stated, "The simple immutable fact is that yoga originated from the Vedic or Hindu culture. Its techniques were not adopted by Hinduism, but originated from it. Efforts to separate yoga from its spiritual center reveal ignorance of the goal of yoga." These are the Hindus themselves saying this to us. He said, "If this attempt to co-opt yoga into their Christianity continues, in several decades of spinning the untruth as truth, through relabelings such as Christian yoga, who will know that yoga ever was Hindu?" It's amazing how they could see through this, but the Christians cannot. What he said is, "You're taking our religion from our land, our culture, and you're trying to make it Christian. And if you continue spinning these yarns, in just a few decades, it will have lost its Hindu root and people will have to think it comes from Christianity." They also say that it's a spiritual exercise. An article from Let Us Reason website titled "Yoga, Today's Lifestyle for Health," stated that yoga is an intrinsic part of Hinduism and quoted from Swami Vishnu Vananda, a well-known authority of yoga, and in his book, The Complete Illustrated Book of Yoga, he explains the purpose of yoga. He said, "It is the duty of each developed man to train his body to the highest degree of perfection so that it may be used to pursue spiritual purposes. The aim of all yoga practices is to achieve truth, wherein the individual soul identifies itself with the supreme soul of God. He said, in the Hindu philosophy, it is taught that the ultimate reality is consciousness or energy, and their God's name is Brahman. And he said, each individual soul, they call that Atman, has seven energy centers known as chakras in the body that run along the spinal column. By opening up these energy centers, aligning these chakras for the energy to merge with the ultimate cosmic energy and to experience Atman, who is Brahman. Hindus say that yoga cannot be renamed. Yoga Baba Prem Veda Vishada argues that there is no Christian yoga. He said, it was quite astonishing for me to see on the flyer Christian yoga this Thursday night. He said, I could feel the wheels spinning in my brain. Christian yoga? I thought. Now, while Christians can practice yoga, I'm not aware of any Christian teachings about yoga. Yoga is not a Judeo-Christian word. It is not part of the Roman Catholic teachings, nor is it a part of Protestant teachings. It is not found within the King James Version of the Bible. How well said. It is a Hindu word, and more correctly, a Sanskrit word from the Vedic civilization. So how did we get Christian yoga? From this, I concluded one of two things, he said. Christianity is threatened by yoga and is attempting to take over the system that invaded their turf pertaining to spiritual teachings and techniques. Or the other possibility is Christians are subconsciously attempting to return to spiritual roots of civilization, the ancient Vedic civilization. This is what Hindus are saying about Christians who are trying to make yoga Christian and say, hey, don't worry, it's just a simple exercise tool. Lighthouse Trails posted an article from a Yoga Hindu Academy that said this: is yoga a religion that denies Jesus Christ? Yes. Just as Christianity denies the Hindu Mahadevas such as Shiva, Vishnu, you've heard of Lord Vishnu, you've heard of Lord Krishna. John Lennon made a song very popular before he died about my sweet Lord Krishna. He said, just to name a few, Hinduism and its many yogas have nothing to do with God and Jesus, though we do respect that others believe in this way. As Hindus who live the yogic lifestyle, we appreciate when others understand that all of yoga is about the Hindu religion. Modern so-called yoga is dishonest to Hindus and to all non-Hindus such as Christians. So let's look at the dangers of practicing yoga. First of all, it can lead a person into the occult. Okay? I went to John Ankerberg's website, and he had an article there on innocent yoga. I want to share with you some things in that article. He said, regardless of the school or spiritual tradition, yoga practice tends to alter a person's consciousness in an occult direction. Even when yoga is practiced innocently, it can eventually produce dramatic occult transformation. Personality changes can be brought about in Hatha yoga, that's the popular form in our country, by changing the body so that it influences the mind. That is what the Hindus are saying all along, okay? And then they go to give the experience of this one young lady named Christina Groff. They speak about her experience with yoga, and prior to getting involved with yoga, she was just an ordinary housewife, just like some of you. Normal plans for her life. She took up yoga entirely without any suspicion of a spiritual practice, but wanted to do it during her pregnancy because we're being told that this is good exercise for pregnant women to engage in because it helps you to stay physically fit and relax. This is what she said after numerous experiences practicing yoga. She said, "I threw myself into yoga, although still not acknowledging it as a spiritual tool. My meeting with Swami Mukhananda really blew the lid off everything. He served as a catalyst to awaken what I had been resisting, which was Kundalini, the universal life force." And so I'll end that portion right there, but this innocently practiced yoga from this average American housewife led to numerous psychic experiences that dramatically changed her life. She became a disciple of this Hindu guru and then a leader in the New Age occultic movement. And so don't ever think that this is harmless. It also could lead a person into demonic activity. The article also gave an example of a woman named Carol who used yoga for medical reasons because we're being told that it helps heal. It helps heal, just like Reiki helps heal. Carol was very sick, and doctors were unable to find the cause of her illness. When she went to a physician, nutritionist recommended by a friend, she found some literature in his office about the Himalayan Institute, of which the doctor was a staff member. The institute was founded by Indian Swami Rama, one of the most scientifically studied of the gurus, beginning with famous biofeedback researcher and spiritist, Dr. Elmer Green. Carol decided to attend the institute. I mean, after all, it's harmless. Where she began lessons in Hatha Yoga. Eventually, she was initiated. Remember, we spoke about being initiated into the occult. She was initiated and received her mantra, or word of occult power, from Swami Rama. As he laid his hands upon her head, the transfer of occult energy began. Carol was in heaven, or so she thought. Currents of electric energy began to permeate my head and went down into my body. It was as if a spell had come over me. The bliss that I felt was as if I had been touched by God. The power that had come from his hand and simply from being in his presence drew me to him irresistibly. That night after receiving her mantra, Carol was visited by a spirit being who claimed to be the spirit of Swami Rama himself. Although no one ever mentioned the spirit world in her church, I mean, they did not believe in such things. See, this is the problem. I got to stop right there. This is the problem. Churches will not speak about the whole counsel of God. They will not talk about demonic activity. They will not talk about sin. They will not say, don't engage in this, because they are afraid people will not come to their church or leave.
And so they do not educate the people. They do not equip the people. The church's job is to equip the people. And the only way you could equip a person, as I understand the scriptures, is not by going to seminars, but through the word of God, the truth of the scripture. And to not want to talk about the spirit world or demons because somebody says this doesn't happen today doesn't understand the scriptures. If Jesus could talk about it repeatedly, it's because it was important. If Paul could say, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers, and you better put on the armor of God, then we need to talk about it, and we need to stop saying these things don't happen today, because they do. And if you just do a little bit of research and a little bit of listening, you will find out how many people are being sucked into demonic activity and attacks, and are even dying through this kind of stuff. And one of the reasons is churches will not talk about it. I don't know. I don't know what's so hard about it. If it's here, we should be talking about it. What's so hard about that? Where did I leave off? That night after receiving her mantra, Carol was visited by a spirit who claimed to be the spirit of Swami Rama himself. Right, although no one ever mentioned the spirit world in her church, they didn't believe in such things. Carol felt that this was the means of directly communing with God. And I want to say something else, too. We can't always blame the church. Christians have Bibles. Open it up and read it thoroughly. Amen. Thoroughly. Amen. I'll say no more. I say no more. That means I believe. Okay. Carol felt this was the means of directly communing with God. She experienced wonderful, powerful forces and energies, while thoughts entered her mind with a magnetic-like force. Electric currents were pulsating around my body and then moved into my hand. The currents were shaking my hand and strong, almost entrancing thoughts were impressed into my mind. Meditate, meditate, I want to speak with you, is what the voice was saying. And Carol thought it was a miracle. I was communicating with the spirit world. She was right. I had found God, she said. She was wrong. Sitting in the darkness of my living room, I began to repeat my mantra. A presence seemed to fill the room. I began to see visions of being one with the universe, and the magnetic thoughts were now leaving, and I was hearing a voice which identified itself as Swami Rama, saying he was communicating with me through astral travel. Sounds good. See, she was having a wonderful spiritual experience, just like so many people are looking for with contemplative prayer, walking the prayer labyrinth, practicing yoga, getting closer to God. Well, things didn't quite last so well. Within 1 week after meditating many hours each day and still in constant communication with this spirit, forces began to come upon me and give me powers to do yoga postures. I was floating through them, the forces giving me added breath, even postures that I couldn't do before. Postures that were very painful. However, here's the however. After 2 weeks of daily yoga meditation, Carol became engulfed in a nightmare of dread and terror. Voices that once claimed they were angelic turned threatening, even demonic. She was brutally assaulted, both physically and spiritually, by spirits. During meditation, in the midst of being violently shaken, she could sense that the same energy received at initiation, energy which was now felt to be personal, was attempting to remove the life essence from her body.
We saw a YouTube video in my home last night about this pastor who claims to be healing people in Oakland, Florida. I would certainly advise you do a little bit of research about this man and his theology. And we witnessed, Tom and Bev were at our house, and we watched together on this short little clip, this man going into shaking convulsions on the stage and then praising God, thinking this was from the Lord. Maybe the Lord Krishna, but certainly not the Lord we know. She sensed an overwhelming hatred directed toward her from this energy, as if monstrosities of another world were trying to take her soul, inflicting pain beyond endurance, ripping and tearing into the very depths of my being. It seemed that nothing could stop these assaults. Her agonized pleas to the spirits were ignored. Her husband was powerless. Her father thought she was crazy and wanted her to see a psychiatrist. Others also doubted her sanity. In desperation, her mother contacted psychic friends. That's really a good way to help. Her mother contacted psychic friends from a local church of the Unity School of Christianity. They laid hands on Carol and commanded that the divinity within deliver her, but to no avail. It gets worse. Dr. Norman Shealy entered the picture. He's a noted neurosurgeon, a former professor at Harvard University, a past president of the American Holistic Medical Association, and author of Occult Medicine Can Save Your Life. I hope I never go to a guy like him. Dr. Shealy also works in conjunction with psychics and spiritists such as Carolyn Miss. When Dr. Shealy was unable to help, he referred Carol to Dr. Littman, another MD, a spiritist who was co-author of several dozen books received by revelation from the spirits. Okay? This man in Oakland, Florida, got his healing powers from an angel named Emma. It's all the same. See? Littman admitted that Carol's situation was not uncommon among followers of Eastern gurus. Not uncommon. He even told her that some have died as a result of similar psychic attacks. But he too was unable to help. His instructions, this is how he advised healing her, visualize yourself in the white Christ light. Not Jesus Christ as a person, but this force, this universal force, this Christ consciousness. And this was useless. By this time, Carol was near the end. But today, to make a long story short, she's alive and well. Even her psychiatrist is amazed at her transformation. She's now in perfect health, mentally and physically. How did Carol get free? Well, no one was able to help her. Today, Carol attributes her health and her life to a living Jesus Christ who delivered her from this. Reflecting back, this is important, reflecting back on her situation, she is awed that such terrible destruction could be purchased at the price of a simple, supposedly harmless form of yoga meditation. I just want to speak a little bit about Ricky, okay? I'm sure I'm going to go over again, but I have to finish this, so please bear with me. Ricky, this is another fast-moving enterprise permeating our country and our faith. An article titled Ricky Healing, A Doorway to the Occult, said the one form of energy medicine that has been growing in popularity is called Ricky. According to some, Ray means universal and Kai means life force energy. But the International Center for Ricky Training, not the International Center of the Red Cross, but the International Center of Ricky Training goes further, declaring that Ray is more accurately understood to mean supernatural knowledge or spiritual consciousness, the wisdom that comes from God or the higher self. And thus, according to the center, it is the God consciousness called Ray that guides the life force called Kai in the practice we call Rekai. The founder was Mikao Yusai, a Buddhist monk born in 1865 in Japan. After years of intense mystical experiences, he purportedly discovered the secret of this new healing science and called it Rekai in 1922. Rekai claims to work by removing obstructions from the flow of life force energy throughout the body. These obstructions are allegedly caused by negative thoughts, actions, or feelings. That's why we have so many positive preachers today. I wonder if they have somehow bought into this, you have to constantly think positive. Now, there is a truth to that, folks. There is a truth to that, but not this. There is a truth to understanding who we are in Jesus Christ, in our association with Him, that we are His child, that we will share in the inheritance with Jesus Christ, and that we will be forever with God in paradise in a perfect body. That's positive thinking. But I can't be positive to make things happen in my thinking because that makes me God, or one like God. In a separate article from Cana, they said, Reiki theory holds that practitioners can channel the universal life force as a healing energy into the client's body. So this comes from the universe through me, the channeler, to you. Okay? Forget about the Holy Spirit, who's already in you, in order to balance and enhance the flow of vital energy. The client or patient lies on a table as the Rekai practitioner gently touches him or her. The practitioner places their palms on major organs and glands and on the areas where the chakras are located. See, now we go back to Hinduism. Okay, the chakras are part of a Hindu belief that there are seven chakras, we already spoke about that, centers of psychic and spiritual energy going from the base of the spine to the top of the head. Certain Hindu teachings claim that the kundalini, an energy force coiled snake-like in the base chakra from the bottom of the spine, needs to rise to the topmost chakra that's flow right through the body to the top of the head to attain spiritual enlightenment. As the Rekai practitioner holds his or her hands over various areas for several minutes, it is believed that the client patient is drawing in whatever energy is needed from the universe using the Rekai healer as the channel. Rekai energy enters the top of the practitioner's head and exits through the hands, passing through the patient. We were just speaking about this last night, about a friend of ours who went for a massage and complained about the stiffness in a particular area around the neck and shoulder. And the therapist said, would you mind if I tried something new? And the patient, thinking that it was, all right, a new way to, you know, massage me or something, and she starts with this moving of the hands over her body, and I believe she was humming. I'm not sure. I'm a little sketchy there, and the person stopped her immediately, like, what are you doing? Don't do that. So what does the Bible say about all of this? Well, it says to reject pagan practices, right? In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6, this is what happens, and this should be a warning to the church. My goodness, do we read the Bible? Do we believe it? God said to Israel, the Lord has rejected his people, the descendants of Jacob, because they have filled their land with practices from the east and with sorcerers, as the Philistines do. They have made alliances with pagans, and this is exactly what the churches are doing, in danger of what?
We are stepping outside of the umbrella of grace God has given us by engaging in these forms of practices. And I want to tell you something. The person who knows it's happening and says nothing is, according to Scripture, in hearty agreement with it. In Jeremiah 10:2, what did he say? See, this has been plaguing God's people since the beginning of time. The Lord says, do not learn the way of the nations. Pagan practices are demonic practices. In 1 Timothy 4:1, we've already read this. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. In Deuteronomy 32:17, the Lord warned Israel. He said, they sacrificed to demons who were not God. You see, idols, any form of idols, regardless of their shape or form, are demons. And when a person engages in this, they are actually worshiping the prince of this world, who is Satan. He says, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. In 1 John 5:19, he warns the church, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, and the evil one's realm is in the occult, of which we are diving into as a church. And the Bible also tells us that these pagan practices anger God. You know, Christians think that they're pleasing God by getting their bodies fit and trim. They're even saying, I'm worshiping you in doing this form of activity. And by using these methods, they are not pleasing God, but are in fact angering him. In 2 Kings 17, this is what the Lord said to Israel in verses 10 through 12. They set up sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and on every spreading tree. At every high place they burned incense, as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done. They did wicked things that provoked the Lord to anger. They worshiped idols, though the Lord had said, you shall not do this. Now, I want to reread this verse. I'm just going to change a few words. I'm sure God will forgive me. But I want to reread it like this. They set up sacred labyrinths and meditative centers on every high hill and under every spreading tree and in the churches. At every high place, they practiced mysticism in the form of meditation, as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done. They did these wicked things that provoked the Lord to anger. They worshiped these idols, even though they said it was Christian, and even though the Lord said, do not do this. Puts a whole different spin on it, doesn't it? Pagan practices are the lie of Satan, folks. The ultimate goal of yoga is self-realization. Self-realization. To realize one's own divinity, that man is like God. That's the same lie Satan gave to Eve when all of this started in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, the tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Paul wrote many centuries later in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That's what's happening to the church, and we don't even know it. We don't even know it.
What does the Bible say about this kind of stuff? Don't believe everything you see or hear. If someone's saying Jesus is here, don't listen to him. If someone says there's a major healing going on here, you better walk very carefully and check this out. And God's advice to us is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I want to end on this note, in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8, God tried to encourage his people. I guess you would call it encouragement. He said, Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? You see, God gave us this book so that we would not be fooled. He said, you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? And yet, the church is worshiping pagan gods and engaging in pagan practices to worship Jesus? That's why we're doing this. That is why you, brothers and sisters, you, if you walk away from this series and say, it doesn't affect me, that is what'll kill the church. Do you understand that? I can't be more serious about this. We have got to, brothers and sisters, we have got to come out of our shell. We have got to learn how to be uncomfortable for Jesus Christ and stand for the truth. And when you start fighting these forces, I'm going to tell you now, you are going to be unpopular. Your friends may not like you. I know this is going to go on a CD, and I don't know who will listen to it. But if the leaders in your church won't listen to the truth, if the leaders will not listen to the truth, the Bible is clear. It condemns false teachers and false teachings. You cannot keep yourself in alignment with false teachers and false teachings under the guise of, I'm going to change something here. The best thing you could do is say your piece and then get out of there. As Tom said earlier, if that ever were to happen from my mouth, I would rather die first than to teach this garbage. We cannot put up with this. The church is always asleep until it's too late. It's not even the horse just ran out of the barn. The horse is 10 miles away in the next county before the church wakes up. I feel so guilty. This has been going on for years, and I didn't know a thing about it until last year. I'm just as guilty. But now I know. And so what do? One of the things we need to do is be in prayer. See, that's a purpose for tonight. We're going to pray for the church, that people wake up and say, I will not tolerate this. And if it means you're going to be called something that's not nice, or if it means you're going to be booted out of a friendship or an association, you better think that you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus someday and you're going to have to give an account for this. And he's not the one you want to offend. So stand strong. Be firm. And God will honor you, maybe not here, maybe not now, but when you face him in heaven. And if we do nothing about this as a church,
then this series was a waste of time here. I don't know how else to say it. And so, but you know, I believe you will not do nothing. I believe that about this church. You will not do nothing. I'm not saying we're going to go out and bust down doors, but we have to learn to speak up with the truth and take a stand in the name of Jesus Christ, because you know who's being maligned with all of this stuff? It's Him. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank You for the truth. Thank You that we have something to go to, which is called the Bible, that we could line all of these teachings up against, Lord, and You reveal them one by one to be false. And I pray You would help us to be a church that pleases You, Lord, a church that knows the truth but is not ashamed or afraid, Lord, to bring the truth out there. And Lord, You require every one of us to do that. And I pray You would give us that passion, that burden. You've given us the Holy Spirit, Lord. We have the means, God in us, Lord, through conversion and trust in Jesus Christ and in no other way. Help us to be lights. Help us to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and to stand for truth. And to bring You blessings and honor and glory, Father, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.